Hey y'all. So before we get into the episode, I just wanted to give you a little heads up about our audio this episode. It got a little garbled in some places, a little bit funky. So if it sounds weird sometimes, that's what's happening. But the content is amazing. I didn't want to lose any of that. So I hope you just bear with me and don't charge it to my professionalism on the podcast, because you know I'm trying to figure this out every day. But anyway, so let's hop right in.
Hi, everyone. This is the Walking Well podcast, and I am your host, Jalon Martz. As always, thank you so much for listening. So for this month, we have been talking about parenting with intentionality, and we've had amazing people on to just sort of talk about different aspects of parenting, and today is no different. I'm very excited to wrap up this conversation with this amazing couple that I love and adore so very much that are just going to give you all the good things. And so I have with me the Goodens, David and Cynthia, and I know them from being elders at my former church, but they are just phenomenal couple with so much wisdom, so many years of wisdom in walking with the Lord. And so they are going to be talking about blended parenting, and that can be such a tricky topic, and they are literally like the Swiss Army knives of it. They just have such good insight and such good wisdom. And so thank you guys for being on the podcast today.
Why, thank you. Thank
you. My pleasure.
Yes. You said all those wonderful things. And, nobody knows that we actually paid you to do that.
Oh, my goodness. Not even
true. Thank you so much for the kind words.
I meant every one of them. So can you guys talk about a little bit about where you are in life right now, what you're doing, so that people can get a feel for who you are?
Okay. Well, we're kind of in a place of transitioning. We've been transitioning for the past few years since we left Jacksonville. But we have a lot of good things going on. And let me say this. I'm David Gooden. This is my wife, Cynthia Gooden.
Hello.
We have been married for, it will be 34 years, December the 6th. Yeah. And as you know, Cynthia, you know, you've seen all the fruit of my hard work over the years to get her to the point where she is this incredible woman. And
incredible man.
Yeah, you probably want me to write a book on that. But anyway, she is. But actually, anybody that knows us, they know that I work for her. Okay. But we have 9 children. We have 5 boys and 4 girls. And we have a blended family because I had 6 children by 4 different women. She had 2 by 2 different men, and then we adopted a niece. So mm-hmm. What we did is that when we got together, we had created the perfect foundation to go to hell and back every day. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Because it was not easy. And the reason that it wasn't easy is because we didn't have anybody like us to talk to about all the different intangibles of a blended and a step family. And because in most churches, we've only gone to 2 churches, 3. But in most churches, when they teach on family, they teach from everyone being biologically connected in a nuclear family. You know, because most pastors, they teach from their own experience. And most of the times, that's the way it is. But nowadays, even in churches, 70% of families in churches are blended and step families. And so one of the things that we learned was that if you only hear family talk from a nuclear aspect where everyone is biologically connected, you really could be missing 70% of the people there, because they know that a lot of the things that are taught in the nuclear setting, which, you know, we have a responsibility to teach God's best, and that's what his intention was originally, you know. But we also, a lot of times, we leave a lot of families leaving and feeling like no one tapped on what they were actually going through. And when you're in a blended and a step family, you can listen to somebody talk about it and teach on it, and you know in about 15 minutes if they even have a clue about what you're going through. You know, or if they do, you know. But Cynthia and I, we didn't really understand that we actually were being groomed to be for other people what we couldn't find. which is why it's so dear to our heart. Now, she's got multi-anointings, as you know. She's always going to be talking to women and having things for women and so on and so forth. And the same way that women gravitated to her in Jacksonville, they've done the same thing up here in Atlanta. She's got young ladies up here calling her mom. You know, I'm going to see what they get on Mother's Day to see if they had the right to call her mom. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's my take. What you want to say?
Okay, I want to say hello, everyone out in the audience. And again, thank you so much for having us to be able to share. And hopefully that we can, and I know we will, can enlighten someone else's understanding and load of what they're going through. My name is Cynthia Gooden. I'm also known as minister, elder, certified life coach, advisor, counselor, whatever I need to be to the people at the time that I need to be to the people. And David said a lot of good stuff here, so I'm not going to be redundant. I'm just going to go ahead and just, you know, say a little bit about me. Yes, we've been married over 34 years, going on our 35th year, right?
No, it would be 34.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Normally, the ladies always know the exact date. But well, this time,
I know you think that you look at it as if you had the pleasure of being married to me longer than what you had, but I understand.
That's okay. But anyway, as he said, you know, well, look, we're here in Atlanta, Georgia. We do a lot of speaking engagement in various places. I do a lot of speaking engagement mm-hmm. with women's. We do speaking engagement with families as well. So we take a spiritual and a natural encouragement aspect approaching to impact people's lives, to impact mm-hmm. women's lives, because it's not easy. It has been. Like he said, we've gone through a lot, but we knew that only way we could come out of it is to stay plugged in to God to help us, because we were so unskilled, you know, and learning how to be a parent. And then we had all these different personalities of children that we had to try to cope with. And it, like I said, it wasn't easy, but
along with 6 outside parents.
Yes. So I want to impact the audience in a lifestyle of saying, let's talk, you know. So I'm going to give it back to you. And like I said, I have other stuff that I could have talked about, but I think mm-hmm. we've said enough. Let's get this ball rolling.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the good. So as far as like the definition of a blended family, what makes a family blended versus step? How do you kind of talk about those two? Because there's step families and there's blended families. Are they the same thing? Do they have a different dynamic?
Well, I can start it and you can. Okay. Well, with a step family and with a blended family, which one of both, like we were, David had outside children before I married him, and I had outside children before he married me. And we was
children,
you know what I mean? So with those children, we both had by different people. Then we end up having our own children. So that, you know, just having those kids before we had kids brought our family together as a blended family. And then when mm-hmm. we really had our own kids, is we started having step kids, step brothers, step sisters, you know, all those kind of scenarios where mm-hmm. we was in, the kids were saying, oh, this is my step sister, this is my step brother. So that made it all blend together. It's like a blender. You know, when you put things in the blender to make a smoothie, you know, a lot of times it doesn't smooth out in the beginning of it, but you're putting all these different ingredients and different people in that blender and trying to blend it together and realize that all the kids came up in different settings and different personalities, different backgrounds of their parents. So we took on all these different personalities. So that what I want to just add, you know, to being a blended family, you could go ahead and.
Yeah. But, and you know, one of the things that we learned, like you said, the difference in a step and a blended family. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, a step family is when you come into a relationship and only one of you have a child. Mm-hmm. You know, the blended is when both of you have children coming in, you know, or, you know, you start out as a step and you end up as a blended. And one of the things that she said also was that a lot of times you expect to bring everybody together. And the term blended comes bringing everybody together as one family. Most of the time, that doesn't work like that because of the different personalities and the different outside parents, so on and so forth. And one of the things about a blender, what it does is that for it to blend is a lot of cutting and a lot of things going
on. Chopping up.
So the best way to start out a blended or a step family is not in a blender, but in a crock pot.
Mm-hmm. Slow cook.
And just kind of let it, you know, simmer a little bit, kind of do what it does, how it just sits there. Because one of the things that we also, just through experience, is that I came across an article about a step family. And what it was saying that there's actually no such thing as a blended family. Mm-hmm. Because they are actually all step families. Mm-hmm. And one of the problems that happen in families that have children from coming into the relationships is people think that when they blend and I got to accept you as my mother, you as my father and all that, they think that they have to give up something, you know, something of their own, you know, and you're trying to get them to accept a version of family that they've never seen before.
That's right.
And so with children, it takes 2 to 3 years for a child to have their parents separated, for them to even be able to comprehend. It takes them 2 to 3 years to comprehend emotionally, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to accept that. And it's not uncommon for children to 10 years after their parents have broken up to still be believing and praying that their parents will one day get back together, even if they're both remarried, you know. So there's some things in there. But one of the, I'll say this, and we can, you know, go on from there, is that one of the things that we found out is that when you're going into a blended family, you need to get premarital, blended, and step family counseling.
Yeah.
And because that is different, we counsel a lot of people that have counseled with professional counselors and so on and so forth, but they just didn't hit what they, you know, needed to hit. Now we've even backed it up, you know, not just with blended and step families, but in marriage period, is that one of the things that we're offering now is pre-engagement counseling. Because that's where it needs to start. Because usually when you've gotten engaged, you know, you done got some ships flowing in a direction that now you can't even turn around, mm-hmm. you know. But what couples really need to do before they commit to marriage is they need to have some sessions of pre-engagement mm-hmm. counseling before you even get engaged.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people, depending, especially when you're talking about blended step families, there's a lot of people that could be madly in love with each other and think you're the one, you know, but you don't need to get married and you may not be able to cope with this and all the intangibles that come with it, because they're all different on how you're dealing with outside parents, you know, and different things like that. So many different scenarios, and it doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. It just may not be something that you think that you might need to step in, that you can handle. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, just nothing wrong with that. If you see that in the beginning, that comes with counseling.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I say this? Mm-hmm. I just want to just put this little bit in there. You said something about they may not be able to cope with it. And that is a true statement, but that's not the whole truth. Mm-hmm. I believe that, as I was saying, in the spirit and in the natural, mm-hmm. we deal with these things. If they're trusting and believing God and they're born again Christians, then you can get through it. It's not, like I said, it's not an easy thing. However, but you're trusting and believing God that he will put the solitary back into the family that will help you be the person that you need to be. And love keeps coming up in my heart. I did not have that perfect love for somebody else's child, but I had it for my own child. You understand what I'm saying? So I had to really reexamine my heart. Do I really have love, period? Yes, I have plenty of love to give my own kids, but other people's kids just was untrained and unskilled and didn't understand. I think that's where I missed the mark. But then when I found out that God is love, then I had to come back and redo some things. So I just believe that we could do all things. But the point is, who is helping us, whether it's in the spirit or whether it's in the natural? Who are we trusting and who are we believing in?
Now, that is really like the truth of it and the bottom line of it. And I just say, because everything she said is true. You know, it's true. The only thing is that a lot of times it don't go that way. Because one of the things that a step family will do and a blended family will do, you can be raised up in the church. Mm-hmm. You can be sure enough saved and all that. A blended and step family is going to push you to the limits.
Oh, yeah.
Of seeing just how much you do. And it will make you it will make you do more, which is why you have to get the counseling beforehand, mm-hmm. so that you know what to expect. We know the questions to ask couples that they won't ask because they don't want to hear deal breakers, mm-hmm. you know. So, but we know the questions to ask. And so we tell a lot of couples in counseling is that when all of a sudden they got all this turmoil going on, you know, with the outside mom and the outside dad and all this kind of stuff, so on and so forth. They just got married. First thing we tell them is that you have to kind of give yourself a little break, mm-hmm. because you just didn't understand what you didn't understand. That's right. And you just didn't know what you didn't know. You didn't know that you should have got this first. Mm-hmm. And you should have sat down and talked to somebody who knew the kind of questions to ask. Especially, we have married people where one father, they had five kids, him and his ex-wife, and they would stay with him a week or 2 weeks at a time. He'd take them to school and pick them up every day, feed them, do all that, so on and so forth. You know, all that works when you're single. You can do all that. But when you get to the point you're getting ready to bring somebody else in your life, stuff is getting ready to change. Because now whoever you're getting ready to marry, and if they have a child, it's getting ready to take priority over that. Not to say that you're still not doing a whole lot, but there's a lot that single people have to understand that they can do while they're single and do as much as you want to do. Money-wise, you can be paying them child support, give them extra money, you can do all that. But when you bring somebody else into your life and you're getting ready to get married, those you're bringing another opinion in, and you're bringing in someone else that you now have to be sensitive to, you know, that you are promising to do all these things for them and theirs, mm-hmm. also. So now you have to have a balance, you know, in there. So we talk about all those things in the beginning when we see just the layout of the family, what they have, and right.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when we see what they're going into, you know, and what the other added pieces are going to be. And the ones that we have been able to do that with, even though two different ones have five different children they went into it. One went in with five children and the lady had one. The other went in with five children and the other and his fiance didn't have any. They are doing phenomenal to this day, years later. Okay.
So good. So awesome. You talked about so very much, but I think you covered a lot as far as just like, okay, what's the expectation versus the reality? So could you speak to like, and you've talked a lot about kind of people not knowing, you know, what they're getting into and what to expect and all of that. So can you speak to like, what tools do you need to be successful at blended family-ing?
Well, one of the things that, we also share with a lot of married couples is that one of the reasons most married couples, they have so many problems because they married people they didn't know.
You have to have the tools to take some time to get to know each other. That the tools that a lot
the tool of wisdom.
Yeah.
Just to have the wisdom to know.
That. Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's a desperate situation where people are desperate, either one or the other. Lately, I've been noticing that it's been the women's that's been pushing this marriage thing, but then we get people who come and say, you know, we just didn't get to know each other. We just didn't know. I didn't know this. I know that. But it's always when you live with a person and neither one of you are going home and not saying bye, goodbye, kiss, goodbye, you are actually under the same roof. Then if you don't have the tools of wisdom, even seeing an example in your lifestyle on how to even be a woman or how to even be a man, if you're not secure in your own self, then those tools that you thought you had, you're going to realize you really need some experience. I call it the Titus 2 and 2 women, that not so much the age, because wisdom doesn't see it in age. So even if you have the wisdom and you're not wise in how you use the wisdom, then you're really still defeated. Because we have a lot of women that are wise, but they're, you know, they have wisdom, but they're not wise with their wisdom. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the tools is having confidence in yourself and who you are, and having confidence in your identity. Also, and confidence in the wisdom that I am capable of being a wife. But I think it's like 100% on both ends, not just a 50-50. It's 100% in. You're going to be in, or but you're going to, life throws you all kinds of curveballs. Life, that's what, to me, I believe that that's your growing and your learning period when you do go through something. But if you don't take the time to sit down and observe what you're going through, the two of you, how you respond to each other, then it's chaos. So that, I just use that one wisdom of one tool of wisdom. You have a lot of the tools.
Yeah, because you, and that's wisdom is always a principal thing.
It is.
But also, you know, you actually getting married, whether it's a blended step family or not, there are some tools out there. What you can do is that there's books you can read.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, there's so it's much
apparent.
That. Well, the best thing to have is a visible example, mm-hmm. you know, of a happy, healthy marriage. It's very difficult to be what you didn't see.
That's right.
It's the best thing that parents can do. We have nowadays we have too many parents that let their children out the house as damaged goods. Because what it is, they taught them how to get an education. They taught them how to be responsible and get a good job. But they didn't teach them enough about life. They didn't model a healthy relationship between a man and a woman before them. You know, where they saw them flirting with each other, picking, pinching on each other, where they saw them resolving conflict without throwing a cup across the room, or somebody getting mad and leaving or just not talking for a week or something like that. You know, or just sitting their children down and tell them individually how much they love them and how proud they are and so on and so forth. You know, we put so much emphasis on education and responsibility of, you know, where you're going to work in the workplace. And those things are definitely, you know, have its place. Mm-hmm. But what's going to determine if your child is happy or not as a grown person you know, even when they got the degrees, even when they live in the house with the pool on the lake or whatever, is going to be, do I have a man or woman living here with me? Do I have a husband or a wife that I actually feel no hold back at all showing them and letting them know how much I love them? And I also know how to receive love from them without misusing it or mistreating it. That is what's going to make children happy in the end. Because what happens is that our children don't find out what they learned or didn't learn until they get into a long-term relationship or married. And then they are exposed for what they learned or what they did not learn. Mm-hmm. And so when those breakups happen, now you got another blended family. Now you got another step family and you got all of this, you know. So, but there's things that they can do to get together. There's tools. There's, who is it? The Five Love Languages.
Gary Chapman.
Yeah. And he's got another one out, Things I Wish I Would Have Known Before I Got Married.
Yes.
And then he just co-authored one, which is huge for anybody married. And it's called The Art of Forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's a powerful book.
Just learning, not only learning how to forgive, you know, but to have an ear to know that not only are you forgiving someone, but you need to forgive. You need to have the wherewithal to know that, you know, I did something wrong. I said something wrong, you know, and to be able to acknowledge that.
So much good. So much good stuff, man. So, okay. So you mentioned some tools, some things, some perspective to be successful. How do you start to evaluate if a blended family is something that you should do? Is that something that you actually... And like you talked about, some people are capable, some people are not capable. Where do you start to evaluate, you know, like, oh, I can do this versus, oh, that's way outside of my scope?
Well, most of the time you can. Thing about blended families is that no two are alike. Because the dynamics are not the same.
Came up different.
Yeah. You got two different outside parents that are totally different from each other. You got two in-house parents that are totally different. Everything, and the children are even different, you know, different ages, different things, you know, that has to be done. I think that most of them can work if they get the counseling ahead, because they don't get the counseling ahead. Either they're, most cases, they're going to break up because they didn't get the counseling, you know, or they're going to break up because, you know, just things that were kind of, you know, out of their control. It depends, because in actuality, if you do it right, you have to understand that children that are the only reason that they are a stepchild or in a single family home is because there's been a loss.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a loss of one of the parents left. There's been a loss because one of the parents died. You know, or they've been lost because one of them divorced. You know, for the child, the only reason they're in the state they're in is because there's been a loss in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that is something real heavy for them, you know, in their world. You know, so that's why, you know, we tell it things are just, you know, a little different. But if you kind of educate yourself, you know, some, you know, you can tell when you get into a situation, and say, if you were getting ready to marry a guy that's getting ready to get some has children already, when you meet the ex, sometimes you got 2-3 exes, okay, with multiple kids like I did, all right? You can kind of tell the relationships that he has, you know, with them and how they are, and you can kind of tell and say, this is going to be a little interesting here, you know? And but it's up to him to kind of prepare the way for you by letting people know, hey, get ready to have some changes, you know, but there's a positive way to do that.
That's fine.
To where the children actually look at it as a positive. It depends on how you basically how you started out. So it's for we've had some ladies and some guys said, you know what? I just can't handle it. Mm-hmm. You know, because the exes having too much impact, mm-hmm. you know, and my husband doesn't have enough control, you know, and you have some guys that will say husbands that will say, you know what? If she's going to threaten me with not seeing my kids, you know what? Then maybe me and you may not be together because I'm going to see my kids. There's a lot of leverage, a lot of stuff. It breaks your heart, you know, on things like that. But we see it happen. Yes. But all are different. Each individual marriage or union, you know, it's going to be different. And it just depends. And so, but it can work, which is why 60% of most marriages in church or out of church end up in divorce, first time marriages. Mm-hmm. And most of the time it's because of money, because of struggling, because of things just not working and, you know, so on and so forth. And you know, infidelity is in there too, but finances play a big part. Mm-hmm. 75% to 80% of second time marriages end up in divorce. Mm-hmm. This time, not because of finances, but because of children. Because mm-hmm. some just can't cope. And so if you do a blended family right, what you can do if you're ready for it and you got children, two sets of children that have lost their parents, and you bring them together, if you do it right, you literally can almost right two wrongs by bringing the children in and for the first time, letting them see how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know, take some time, but it can be done. And we've seen it done.
Yep. We've seen some wonders and miracles and some incredible things happen because that's the ultimate goal.
It is.
Is to allow the children to see that we're not adults. We are the adults, mm-hmm. and we can come together and communicate because we have their best interest at heart. And we find out that we are growing it. We're teaching and learning and causing those kids to grow up to be adults. Mm-hmm. And we have to ask ourselves a question. Are we modeling that example to those kids? Because those kids, they learn, they're like sponges, they're watching. Mm-hmm. They can tell whether you really love them or not. Mm-hmm. They can tell whether there's chaos in the house or not. So we want to just let people know out there is hope.
It is.
There is hope.
One thing to go with what she just said. We've seen many families to where the ex won't let the ex basically is poisoning the children's mind mm-hmm. about their dad or sometimes about their mom. Mm-hmm. And we tell them this right here. And especially some of them are like 12, 13 years old, 10 years old. And we tell them, just be patient. I said, because the children know who they know the truth. They know who is keeping who from who. They know when somebody's calling and the mom or dad is not letting you take the calls, mm-hmm. all that. I said, it's going to pay off for you, but you have to keep reaching out and showing that effort, you know, and calling, even though you can't. And when they say you can't pick them up and all that kind of stuff, you keep doing that. I said, because one day the children will grow up mm-hmm. and they will tell their parents what they think about how they raised them and what they did and did not do.
It's foresight.
Yeah, so they know.
Yeah. A lot mm-hmm. of times the two adults, the parents, has to be wise in their choices. Even when they made a mistake, and as you said earlier, you don't know what you don't know. When you know more or better, you would mm-hmm. do better. And a lot of times, who gets training just to be a mother or father to all these different kids.
To be a stepmother. A stepfather.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Who goes through training for that? There's no training except that experience. Go through it in real lifetime. I mean, life term. You go through it. But I believe that the training is not so much for you in your household, it's for other households, because there's so many people out there, so many women single, wants to be married. But as you were talking about the statistics of single people raising all these kids by themselves, and they want to get married, but, you know, you feel like, I don't know whether I should do this or not. Mm-hmm. It's some choices that I believe that you need to seek as another tool, that you need to seek wise counseling at all times before you make those choices. Mm-hmm. Because it can be devastating at some point, because there was many times I wanted to say, oh, this is not the dream marriage when I was single coming up in sports and doing good. I said, I had a fairy tale marriage. I wanted to marry a man with lots of money, of course. I'm sorry. I wanted to marry a man who I could have all my kids by, and we raised those kids, and not the white picket fence around the house. No, I didn't want that. I just wanted to love and to be loved. And to give love.
Okay.
So good. So good. Okay, so you guys have mentioned a couple different resources in talking. You mentioned Gary Chapman's 5 Love Languages. You talked about Things I Wish I Knew Before I Got Married. And then I guess his most recent book on forgiveness. So any other resources that you would recommend? Any other books, any other trainings, sermons, or anything for people?
Well, you know what? We got a lot. This quarter's year's out. We're actually going to have a manual, you know, that couples that are getting engaged and they have blended families. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like a little walk through things you might want to ask.
Or consider,
mm-hmm. you know, while you're, you know, still dating or something like this, that they could go through and see. And we do have some videos from Jacksonville, you know, that we did. And we didn't know we was doing it for 13 years because the first one was in 2007. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a book on, well, I got a book that was basically kind of comes out of that. You know, it's called Wisdom from the Father You May Have Never Had. Because I grew up in a blended family. My mother had 6 kids. We had 3 different fathers and a couple stepfathers in there. I'm the one that had stepfathers and I was the oldest, you know, and always moving. But the way I was blessed, because the way my mother raised us, I never felt like I lacked anything. You know, I didn't even, you know I was poor. It wasn't until I got older and I really saw what was going on. You know, and I remember calling my father, who lived about 180 miles from me. I was a teenager and I had never spent a day with him overnight in my life. And I remember calling him to say, hey, you know, you mind if I come down and stay with you for the summer? And he told me, he said, no, this isn't a good time. I don't have room because I have my stepkids here. And I said, wow, I was saying I'd have slept on the floor or something. But I remember I never forgot that, never asked him again. But he passed a few years ago when he was 82. But, you know, we ended up having a pretty good, you know, relationship, you know, from there. But I did a lot of things that he did unknowingly without even being around him. He had multiple children by multiple women, and so did I. He drove a convertible. My first 7 cars were convertibles. You know, he ran a nightclub and so did I. He gambled and so did I. And I got all that through DNA and never even, wasn't even raised up around him in the same town. You know, so I try to do better. And so I started doing worse than what he did, you know, with my kids.
But that's why I feel that your wisdom book is a good book for fathers out there, even for ladies, to know what they're getting involved in, because of we have actually did an evaluation on how many young men, even in premarital counseling and marriage, or counseling or advising people already married would tell us they did not grow up with their father. Mm-hmm. Some of them said, no, mm-hmm. I don't have a relationship with my father. So your book on the wisdom of father you never had is such a good piece of tool that I think would be great for people just to read, mm-hmm. you know, because you get wisdom out of it. He's a man of lots of wisdom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot from him during our marriage mm-hmm. for 34 years, right? 34 mm-hmm. years. Did I say it right?
You did. At almost 34.
Okay.
But I want to piggyback on something that you just said. What happens to a lot of women when they get married and they're like dumbfounded about what their husband doesn't know, little elementary things they don't mm-hmm. know? The reason for that is because they married a guy who not only he didn't have anybody to impart into him, you know, by example mm-hmm. or by teaching, that was never imparted into him to have in him to come out.
Yeah.
So a lot of ladies, you know, and what happens with a lot of men when that is brought up and exposed to them, instead of them just humbling themselves, you know, they don't know what they don't know.
Right.
You know, then a lot of them kind of rebel against it, mm-hmm. you know, rather than saying, yeah, you know, I'm going to get better. You know, I think I'm going to, you know, there's a lot of videos, a lot of stuff on YouTube, a lot of material different people have, you know, that's out there on relationships that's good. And you have to find, sometimes you got to shuffle through it to find what hits you,
mm-hmm.
you know, because mm-hmm. there's no one all cures all for everyone.
That's right.
Because everyone is just different in so many ways. The word of God is true, you know, in everything that it does,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you have to break it down into a place to where people live and how they can comprehend it.
That's right.
You know, and but that happens to a lot of men. A lot of ladies marry guys like that, you know, that don't know that it was never modeled before them or imparted into them to even have it in their wherewithal.
Such good perspective.
So where can people find you? How can they connect with you? Do you have a website? Where are you on social media? What's the best way to connect with you guys?
Well, Cynthia and I, we got so much going on, the both of us. Like, she has CynthiaGooden.com,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I got DavidEGooden.com. And then on Facebook, we have A Family Affair,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's, which is good, A Family Affair, A Gooden Family Affair, actually,
mm-hmm.
and where we put a lot of stuff on. And we kind of put a lot of stuff on that sometimes it gets so raw that people can't comment on. But I know they saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The reason they can't comment on it, you know, because they don't want their husband to see them click it, or they don't want their wife to see them click it like you saw it. So they can't say nothing. But I know it, you know, because I know I got right there in their business in their living room real deep, you know, but I know they saw it. You know, and I know it's okay.
Well, I believe the reason why you're on Instagram as well. The reason
right.
why they can't say anything, a lot of times the wife can't say it to the husband, but somebody come through the back door
mm-hmm.
can say it a little bit better and they will receive it, because a lot of times they have lost respect for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And when you lose that respect for one another, you don't hear. You are tuned out and tuned down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I believe a lot of women, you know, a lot of people are not commenting, because they really want
mm-hmm.
to comment and they really want that other party to hear or see what you just posted. But it's like mm-hmm. I said, there's a lot out there that's going on with Elder David and myself.
Yeah.
And we're just, we're getting a lot of invites, and we're mm-hmm. just steady as you go. And we just want to help people, you know, to let them know you can fight a good fight of faith
mm-hmm.
because that's what it's going to take if you're going to run the race. If you're going to stay in the race, you're going to stay with that man and stay with that woman. You're going to have to make up your mind, life choices, that I'm going to do better, because I believe I'm going to just wrap it, myself up after this. I believe that once you make up your mind that I'm going to stay in the race, then that's going to make you better, because you're going to want to do better. Because I believe that if you don't, no matter whether you divorce or separate and you go into another relationship, you're still taking the trash can full of trash into that other relationship. And it's not going to get any better until you stop and pause and realize that my identity and my character is not matching up with what I want in life. Why am I keep getting married to 2 and 3, 4 different men and women are dating? Because you have not paused to evaluate yourself. It's time for self-care for all of us, mentally, spiritually, and physically, and any otherwise. We need to get better, because our children, we keep repeatedly duplicating things after our own kind, because that's what the word says. I can't leave the word out. I can't leave God out, because if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. And that's called insanity.
So guys, as you're listening, you're getting so much information that you're going to have to process later, but definitely connect with them. So I'll link your websites into the show notes for the podcast, mm-hmm. so that as people are listening and getting nuggets, they can get your book, they can connect with you guys on social media and the different online platforms that you have, because you've just given so many good things that I just know people are going to rush you and get all the information that they possibly can, because I think you mentioned a couple different statistics, but a lot of people are finding themselves in blended families. And so it's a reality for a number of people, especially in the church. And I love that you brought the perspective out that people usually talk about parenting and family from a perspective of a nuclear family, and that they're kind of neglecting or not really talking from a place of experience when they're speaking to people in blended families. And mm-hmm. there's such a need. So I anticipate lots of people are going to come mm-hmm. looking for you guys. So I'll be sure to link all of your information and contact so that people can connect. And as always, guys, connect with the Walking Well podcast on all of our social platforms. We're on Facebook and Instagram, as well as Twitter, just a little bit. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you guys for being on this week.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
It was our honor.
So grateful. So grateful. Right. So guys, boss it out. Have an amazing week. I love you. Bye.